Throughout Scripture, we're invited to call, to talk, to share. Send God a text. God knows that there are times for intimate conversation, and that's called prayer and worship, and those times are rare because your lives are so busy. The text means I'm thinking about you. Send him your thanks. Send him your expectation. Send him your excitement. And send him your trust.
To order the sermon, send God a text, call 215-885-2585. The cost for CDs are $8 and DVDs are $12. So call and get a copy of Send God a Text.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
In Deuteronomy chapter 1, it says, verses 5 through 8, the Lord tells the children of Israel, you've been in the mountain long enough. You've been in this position long enough. He says, now get up, in verse 7, take your journey, go into the mountain of the Amorites, and unto all the places in the plains, the hills, and the valley, in the south, by the sea, and then go into the land of the Canaanites and into Lebanon, and go up to as far as the river Euphrates. He said, because I have set the land before you. The instruction, go in and possess the land, is a command. Now remember something, that any time you find verbiage that is in the declarative, it is just as vital as the Ten Commandments, just as vital. So when God gives an imperative, you must do this, it's not open for discussion. Because here's what God is saying. I'm telling you that it is now time, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, everything is seasons and cycles, times. I'm telling you now that it's time for you to go into your land of destiny. I'm telling you that it's time. In order to do this, you must come to the realization that you've been here long enough. Now, why is God prompting them to move? Number one, the longer you stay in a mediocre position, the more your mind will become developed that this is where I'm going to be and this is as far as I can go. Many people were caught off guard when America shifted their economy from production and manufacturing to more technical stuff, and we wound up losing a great deal of workers. In fact, when President Obama spoke to Steve Jobs prior to his death, he said, what can we do to get some of those Apple jobs from China into America? And Steve Jobs told the president, I don't think we can because America doesn't have the math skills. We never thought in terms of the world becoming so technologically advanced. And so that's why people are scrapping and scraping, trying to get education in those technical IT jobs so that they will be able to keep up with a changing economy. The same truth happens in the church. We labor, we long for the old way of doing things with the old pyramid hierarchy, and we wind up missing the fact that God has gone, listen carefully, from the top to the bottom. God has gone from the top to the bottom. In the 60s and 70s, the church flourished by the apostolic leadership of those in the pulpit. But now God has begun to bless from the pew to the top. The anointing is flowing so powerfully that God is using the average everyday Christian to be the proponent for the drive of the anointing. So let's go on. Israel's out of the will of God here in Deuteronomy. They're out of the will of God. Why? Because they're wandering. They're wandering. They're wandering. That wasn't the will of God. God didn't call them out of Egypt to wander. God did not call them to wander. He did not call you to wander. He called them to a specific place. But because of their inability to change, as I said, the first thing is the longer you stay in the trench, the more you develop the attitude of acceptance of mediocrity. God made you to go forth. God made you to go forth. In fact, one of the most deadly things that a Christian can do is lose their forward momentum. Take risk. Don't be afraid to move forward. God will protect you. But the longer you sit back and doubt his ability, look. See, I'm sorry. I just get excited. The second thing that staying in the same position does, and you saw this prior to them even becoming wanderers of the wilderness, is that you develop an attitude of going backwards. Every time they ran into trouble, the first thing they said was, let's go back to Egypt. And so in your life, you may find that if you are not seeing the progress that you would like to see, you have the propensity to want to go back to a relationship or back to something that kept you in bondage, but you didn't see the bondage for the comfort. You can be involved with a bad person, but the bad person pays the bills. The bad person buys you gifts. The bad person makes you feel good. Well, crack can make you feel good, but it kills brain cells. Are you hearing me? So staying stagnant causes you to forget that you have the capability to move to greatness. Listen carefully. Ministry can cause you to become stagnant because God may be calling you for a season and a reason and a purpose that once it's fulfilled, he'll never use you again. And this is the problem with our ministerial concepts. We actually believe that ministry is something that's forever. God may be calling you for a season to speak one time. Just because God uses you prophetically one time doesn't make you a prophet. So by the time we get to Deuteronomy 1, Moses has had several nervous breakdowns. Several breakdowns. Disconnection, disassociation, frustration with God, Messiah complex, the need to be great, the need to feel connected, the need to be what everybody wants him to be. This causes him to have breakdown. Why? Because he was content maintaining the status quo. If the leaders don't change, then the congregation won't change. Jesus modeled something in 3 years that we find so difficult to accept. If you read Jesus' life through the Synoptic Gospels, which really lays it out clearer, because all John's worried about is causing you to see Jesus as God. And you read the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will find that what Jesus does is as his ministry time increases, his physical connection to people decreases. Jesus doesn't spend as much time with people towards the end as he did in the beginning. He figured that by now you have been infused with the word of God and you ought to seek him for yourself. You ought to know how to get through for yourself. You need to change your dependency on your pastor to your dependency on God. You ought to become more connected with God to the point where you say, thank God for my pastor, but I thank God for Jesus. See, there's less frustration when your dependency have shifted from your pastor to Jesus. Your pastor can't come visit you in every sick situation, but Jesus is there. Your pastor cannot counsel you when your heart is broken in every situation, but Jesus is your comfort. Your pastor cannot answer every prayer, every vision, every dream. Your pastor can't speak on every prophetic word, but Jesus is Lord over every situation. Hallelujah. My. See, change first begins here. Here. That's what I love about the Christmas carol. It teaches that Ebenezer Scrooge came to the realization that he had to change. And he had three visits. He had a visit from the way it used to be. He had a visit from the way it is. And then he had a visit from the way it's going to be. Well, that's what the Bible does. Genesis tells you the way it used to be. Glory to God. The Gospels tell you how it is. And Revelation tells you how it's going to be. Now you need to change from Genesis to Matthew to Revelation and recognize that I'm going to be a ruler with Jesus. But right now, God is disciplining my life and teaching me the principles that I need to be that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I can't get no help in Bethel. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Glory to God. I need you to understand that you must position yourself for what you want to be while you are what you are and thanking God for how he brought you out of where you used to be. So all three work together. Then by the time the ghost of Christmas yet to come was finished with Ebenezer, he got up in the morning, stuck his head out the window, saw the little boy and said, "Son, what day is it?" And the boy said, "It's Christmas Day, sir." And he said, "All the spirits have done it all in one night." He said, "Tell me, is the goose still in the window down the block?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Go buy it and take it to the house of Bob Cratchit." Why? Because change begins with your actions. You can't tell me you change and you still act in the same way. You can't tell me you met God and you still aren't speaking to me. You can't tell me you've been with Jesus and you still are hateful and bitter. You can't tell me that you love God and you are still going around holding grudges.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44. At 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.